Welcome to Sunday.
Wait a second.
What day is it? The date's
wrong. Well, May. Thursday.
What year?
Wait, what?
Hello, you there, boy.
Me, sir?
Yes, you, my good fella. What day is today?
Today?
From NBC News in Washington, the longest running show in television history. This is Meet the Press with Chuck Todd.
And you can tell by the promo there that the Chuck Todd Holiday Special, a Christmas classic, a Hanukkah classic for the holidays coming up on NBC. It's one we look forward to, Chuck, every holiday season. Oh, I'm not kidding, Chuck. We really do. We really do. That's why I turned your phone on so I could actually hear you on the radio. Good morning, Chuck.
Mm. You're, having, you're having a good start
wow,
this morning.
Wow, this phone is not working. All right, there you go. I hammered on the phone. I think I finally got you, Chuck. Good morning.
Oh, wow.
Is he now just not talking to be funny?
Three strikes, you're out.
No, I'm telling you, if we get one of our Cracker Jack engineers on this.
Super Joe's coming in.
Here's how this works.
You're 0 for 2.
I push a button, and then the phone calls on the air. Okay? Hit it again for me.
There it is.
Ah, there we go. Okay.
What were you doing wrong there?
Apparently, we have two phone selectors, and I picked the wrong one.
How do you know that you? How do you know that you hear me?
He's getting trippy now.
Hey, in through the outdoor.
Listen,
Led Zeppelin album.
Thanks for always doing this. Is there anything you didn't get a chance to say about George H.W. Bush that you want to say right now?
Probably not. I mean, I don't say that, and I think we've been covering this for a few days, so probably not. But I will say that it is one of the, you know, one of the things that struck me yesterday is how we're looking back at some of the things he did, and it looks extraordinary because of how badly broken our politics are now.
Yep.
When what he did in his term was actually quite ordinary. Now, what wasn't ordinary was dealing with the end of the Cold War and all that. But what I mean by ordinary is working across the aisle.
Yep.
That was considered ordinary then. Okay, it wasn't easy, but it was considered something that happened actually quite often because it was really the only way to get stuff done. It happened in Reagan. It happened with Nixon. It happened, with Johnson. Things happened across the aisle. It was an ordinary thing. And what's amazing is that the broken promise, the no new taxes, is probably the single most impactful broken promise on an entire political party that we've seen in American history. The Republican Party is different today. I mean, it is like a fork in the road moment, and it went down another path when that promise got broken.
And that's a perfect segue into the fact that the lesson of H.W. Bush to work with the other side, to take a loss like a man or a woman, stand up, face it, get better, and win the next time. Apparently, all the televisions and radios and internets were broken in Wisconsin and Michigan and North Carolina because those three GOP legislatures are all trying to limit the powers of their governors. And in North Carolina, at least they got it done.
Yeah. This idea that you've got to change the rules after the fact, I mean, and what I don't get is why those Republican parties in those states don't see the long-term damage that could be done to them by doing that. You know, it's one of those this is how, you know, what is it? There's this great line about political movements. You know, they start off principled and they end up a racket. And I think I'm missing some of the punchline.
That's close.
There.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you know, this is when you're trying to hold on to some power in some form or another after you lose an election and you look desperate this way. I think it's gonna damage them with voters in those states, right? I think this is one of those things that they may technically limit the power of the new governor that they have in those two states, but I think that they're gonna hurt the image of their own party. In a way that it could end up costing them the legislature, you know, in a couple of years. And then what would they have accomplished?
Well, and then you have to count on the Democrats, in the case of this particular lovely anecdote, to do the right thing. And at what point have we seen either party choose to do the right thing? And the payback, the you hit me, now I'm going to hit you,
right.
All that does is damage the voters and damage the people who you're supposed to be serving, Justin.
Yeah. Chuck, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I wonder what that what effect it has just right there. The thought of those states that we just mentioned, Wisconsin and Michigan, both played huge roles in 2016. As re-election campaigns are on the horizon for 2020, does this motivate? What does it do for a voter base when you have this kind of shenanigans being pulled at the midterm?
You see, this is I don't see how it helps the base, right? I don't see how this plays to the base. I think that. And I just think they're playing with fire there. I mean, because I think this turns on. And by the way, these are two states where there are obviously a chunk of voters that are vacillating between the two parties. So to come across as sort of craven like this, I just think it's risky, as you point out, going into 2020 when the Republican Party, you know, image. If you're Donald Trump, you're going to want it to be in a little better shape than Michigan and Wisconsin because it's your path to the president. It's your path to reelection. And if you're alienating swing voters there, and if it's you know, hurting your image even more in those states, you know, there's no path to the presidency without the Midwest for Donald Trump.
If Scott Walker wants any political future, he can't sign these new laws.
I'll be very curious what he does with this today. I'm not convinced he. Well, look, you never know, but I think he's. It is hard to imagine. You know, maybe in 4 years, 6 years, but I kind of think that voters are exhausted with Scott Walker a little bit. I mean, you know, this is his fourth statewide race in 12 years, fourth statewide race in 8 years. I don't know whether this would impact his long-term legacy, but I think it would elevate him a little bit if he realized that this long-term was bad for the office of the governorship.
Right, and it sends a message everywhere else because you would not be seeing what happens in Wisconsin, Michigan, and North Carolina without the litmus test of Donald Trump doing what he wants and people allowing them to get away with it. So these guys are playing along the same rules, and it can't be allowed. Does the court challenges, are they likely to stop this that the Democrats are throwing out there?
I don't think so, because I think this is one of those things that's technically legal. I mean, you know, the term ends when the term ends. I mean, it is, you know, perhaps, a future legislature can come up and figure out ways that, you know, after an election, you know, you can't curb an office's. You can't sort of whatever power to an office. I mean, it does seem to be that whatever power an office has by election day, they should have the same power, right? The voter, I guess you could make an argument that the voter was misled at what power, and frankly, the candidates inadvertently misled what power that they would have in the office of the governorship or in Michigan, the office of the attorney general. So I guess there's maybe some way of filing a lawsuit on this. But I do think that all these states probably ought to pass laws that say if you're going to sort of change the structure of a statewide office, you got to change those rules before the election, not after the election.
Yeah. Bush said, I got whooped. I got whooped in 92. He said, that was it. I got mm-hmm. whooped. And you know what? The Republicans won. Or I should say the Democrats won, and the Republicans are now pretending they didn't get whooped so they could change the rule. It just can't happen. It can't happen. And, you know, there's an old political saying, Chuck, as you know, payback's a bitch. And at some point, somebody's going to get hurt over this even more so than now. So I hope people are paying attention because we just had 50% turnout in the midterms. So I would assume the people in Wisconsin and Michigan and North Carolina are upset about this.
Yeah, my fear is that, you know, that basically both parties are capable of this if they can.
Yep.
You know, it is this mindset, well, we can do it, so why not?
Yeah, it's outrageous. Yeah. Anyway, can I see you on TV Sunday morning?
Yes, sir. Okay. You're doing that. I'm going to love seeing you more on TV today as we pay our final goodbye to the president.
Nice job by all of you at NBC, by the way, and thank you for being on.
Appreciate it, guys. You got it.
Thanks. It's Chuck Todd, and Meet the Press courses on Sunday, MTP Daily on MSNBC and the 1947 podcast for the longest running show in television.